Foster here, and welcome to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I am the creator of the Big Brand Formula and president of Jerry Foster Branding, where we specialize in working with service-based entrepreneurs who want to create a big brand and a strong message that sells so you can excite, delight, and ignite your market and make it easier to get clients. So, please stick around to the end of the show, and we will share how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes or so. In the meantime, let's go. Okay, welcome everybody to the Brand Forward Leadership Podcast. I'm Jerry Foster, the big branding guy, also known as the branding evangelist. And I am hyena happy and peacock proud to introduce this guy today. And I actually had the opportunity of connecting with him one-on-one just so we could get to know each other and establish that rapport with each other, which we instantly did. And I'm so happy to have him as a guest on the show today because he is one of a kind and he is special. So please welcome to the show, Chris Thieberg. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Jerry. And yes, I'm going to echo amen. We vibe quite well on that first call, and I'm really honored, pleased as punch to be here as well.
Oh, thanks so much. And Chris, if you don't mind, please tell our audience what your company does.
The name of my firm is The Serving Way. I'm an executive leadership coach, which in polite terms means I help leaders cultivate the conditions for thriving at work. One evolving, growing leader at a time. But more realistically, sometimes it's help make work suck less. One improving leader at a time. So in that leadership space, I work with both emerging and experienced leaders, C-suite down into the middle ranks, nonprofit, for-profit, government, a wide range of clients. And if I might, can I just say a bit about the name?
Please.
Okay. So that word serving means a lot to me. Mm-hmm. Before going into coaching and starting my practice in 2018, I was a leader in higher education and a global educational nonprofit. And I always noticed those leaders, and I sat up a little straighter when I was with them. My shoulders were a little broader. As I thought, yeah, I'm going to take on that hard task. I don't know. I don't even know what I don't know yet. But you know what? That leader has my back. That leader is going to create ways that will be safe for me to take risk. And their power that they rightfully exercise is not over me. It's with me. It's for me. And they're not afraid that my own power is going to grow up in me so that as I get bigger, as I have more capacity, I can grow out and into the world to deliver the results that enterprise is all about. And I came across, what is that thing? I want to be that kind of leader. And I discovered maybe 25 years or so ago, Robert K. Greenleaf, a wonderful thinker on organizational development, and he coined the term servant leader. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book called The Servant as Leader. And the way he puts the phrase servant hyphen leader, he says, everything lives in the hyphen. Ooh. Everything lives in holding together, that the leader serves the growth and development and health and expansion of those people entrusted to their stewardship. Remember, Jerry, followers don't belong to leaders. They are not the leader's property. They are not human resources. They are not human capital. They are humans, full stop. Mm-hmm. And so the servant serving leader sees to it that those people grow up into their greatness to serve greater purposes than themselves. But it's not just kumbaya. Let me serve you, Jerry. Let me bubble wrap you. Make sure everything's comfy, cozy. Let's all be warm by the fire. Man, that doesn't serve you. That actually treats you like a child. Because in a complex, volatile, whitewater world, the leader's going to have to go out there and say, we're going together. We don't know where we're going. We don't know all that we're going to face, but we're going together. And there's a great African proverb that I think captures this notion of serving, which is, when the way is smooth and clear, the leader is in the back carrying the bags.
Oh.
When the way is dark and dangerous, the leader is out front carrying a torch.
Oh my. And I love that.
The leader needs to go forward, back, sideways, all around to create that kind of community that can navigate deep complexity, really wicked hard problems, and sometimes even senses of danger, the planet being in danger, our political structures being in danger, and so on. So that's where the serving came from. You wanted to jump in. Please go ahead.
No, this is fascinating, because one of the words I heard was, and I may not have this accurate, creating thriving environments. But the word thriving is what grabbed me. How are you defining what a thriving work environment looks like in light of everything you just shared?
Oh, perfect. What a great setup. So I'm going to look over to the side here because I made some notes. I wanted to capture some stuff from recent data, recent deep studies on what makes for engagement at work.
Okay.
Connect engagement with thriving. When we have a sense that we have psychological safety, that we can be ourselves, that we can take healthy risks, then we will engage with the work, meaning we will go above and beyond. We will use our discretionary energy to promote the goals and values of that organization. We will come with our whole our whole minds, our whole hearts, all our hands, right? Everything, it's all in. That's a good kind of descriptive, empirical way to talk about thriving. Not touchy-feely, not woo-woo. Like, you can see it, how people show up and perform. So this great research has been done to get at what would really be the right indicators of engagement, therefore thriving, therefore greater results, actually measurable business results, excellence from that organization. And they came up with 8 factors. And they did frame it this lovely way. It's, hey, leader out there, I'm speaking to you, leader, who's watching me. The question is not, what are all your competencies? The question is, why would anyone follow you in the first place?
Ooh.
Why would you follow you? And so this research asked this question, and here are the 8, okay? So I hope it
puts this is great.
Right on this thriving. So number 1, I am really enthusiastic about the mission of my company. You need mission to thrive. I clearly understand what's expected of me. You need clarity to thrive. In my team, I'm surrounded by people who share my values. We need values to thrive.
Mm-hmm.
4, I have the chance to use my strengths at work every day. We need to be lifted up for what we're great at, not beat down for, oh, that's weakness. That's a deficit, Chris. No, see the assets in me already. See my strengths. Capitalize on those. 5, my teammates have my back. We need that sense that we are in a safe place, not a place where it's comfy cozy, but it's a safe place to be brave because people got my back. 6, I know I'll be recognized for excellent work. We have to have somebody notice our winning plays and say, good job. You scored for us. Way to go. That's thriving. I have great confidence in my company's future. That's 7. If the future is dark and dim, we're not going to thrive and we're not going to engage. And the last and really most important, because this is why I exist as a coach and work with leaders, in my work, I am always challenged to grow. You can't thrive without challenge. I can't thrive without challenge. But we need it in that sweet spot where it's not overwhelming and crushing us. And it's not so easy peasy, like, I'll show up and dial it in today. So there are eight indicators for what thriving means, tied to engagement, empirically tied by scientific studies, that this juices engagement. And engagement is scientifically shown to be the key driver of high performance against the outcomes that organization exists to create.
That is really outstanding. And I love how you broke that down. And it makes me wonder, in light of that, and in light of the fact that these companies should be seeking, as you call it, juicy engagement, what is the biggest problem that you saw for your clients in given this situation? What are they bumping up against that you can help them get rid of and disappear and stuff like that?
I'm going to pause on that because there's a true sense it's different with every client.
Yeah. Is there one that's paramount?
Yes. And then I'll give you some that I see a lot. All right.
Okay.
I do want to say that it's unique because the way any good coach works and the way I work is that it's all about you, Jerry.
Yeah.
It's your journey. It's the next great leader you're pregnant with. I'm just a midwife. It's not my baby. I can't have it for you. And every birth is going to be different. Having said that, I really want to emphasize that what I do is spend time really building that trusted partnership with the client so that we know how to dance together with them, always the lead. They're always Fred Astaire. I'm always Ginger Rogers. Now, I'm going backwards and in heels and a flowing gown. So yeah, I'm a dancer. I'm a good dancer, but I know who leads. It's the client. It's the leader. Okay, so some things I see. There's this interesting phenomenon called immunity to change.
Ooh.
It's when we say, I know I really need to change. I am committed to doing X, Y, and Z. And for a leader, it may be everything to say, I'm committed to have some difficult conversations that I usually avoid. That comes up a lot. Those difficult conversations might be about trust and delegation and so on. So it has some nuance with each one. But let's just take, I'm really committed to having that difficult conversation with you, Jerry. I'm going to have it on Tuesday.
Oh.
Tuesday comes and goes, doesn't happen and doesn't happen and doesn't happen. And then a leader might say, what's wrong with me? I need more willpower. That's not it. What is it is that the leader has something else that they're likely not even conscious of, that they want more. So, they would rather have no conflict than have a difficult conversation. They want to be liked above everything else.
Chris, is it a blind spot or are they in denial? What's going on?
I think the blind spot is the right word because it often is unconscious.
Okay.
They don't know yet how important that is. And it's important for really deep reasons. It's been important probably since they were 5 years old that they fit in, that they belong, that they are pleasing, that they don't ruffle feathers. Now I'll pause there and say, coaching is not psychotherapy. So when I go with a leader, we don't go to the past to heal stuff. They bring, oh, you're right, Chris. I'm actually more committed to just go along to get along than actually carry out this unpleasant task of leading with difficult conversations in skillful ways. And yeah, I get it. So coaching comes from where you are and say, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
And how might you want to rewrite that story? How might you want to rewrite that story that you have to always be pleasing? That if somebody gets cross with you, then the world ends. And then sitting right behind that blind spot is often a false either or, a false binary, which is I either can have the hard conversation or we can be friends. And then they learn, no, if I have good hard conversations that help my folks grow, we'll have a stronger kind of relationship. It won't be buddy. but it will be rich and rewarding. There's a both and. So people get locked in some false either ors. They've been holding those tensions all their life. And I help them see, hey, there's a both and. You can have your cake and eat it too. And all pivoted around that. Okay, what's that other thing you really want?
Yeah.
So that's an example, immunity to change.
I love that.
That one comes up a lot.
Oh my God, that is so good. Now, this is a branding podcast, and what lies at the heart of branding, and you and I talked about this when we connected a couple of weeks ago, and that is, how do you distinguish yourself? How do you differentiate yourself? This better than anyone. There's lots of people out there who say they do executive coaching, leadership coaching, and so on and so forth. How does the serving way, how is that the ultimate solution to all of the challenges and the problems that you so eloquently have been sharing so far?
Great. Now we come to the word way, the name. And this will answer your question. And hold me to it if you think I'm wandering a bit. Me home. First, I'll challenge what you're saying just a bit, or tweak it just a bit, sharpen it.
Okay.
Because it's not so much that the serving way has answers and solutions. Good coaches don't. They're different than consultants who say, you want to know what time it is? Give me your watch. I'll tell you, and then give you the bill for $10,000. No, I love consultants. Consultants come in, analyze stuff, and give you answers. A mentor says, this is how I did it in my day. And that's great too. But a coach comes in, a good coach, a genuine coach who does their own work. Says, Jerry, you are already whole. You are already resourceful. You are already capable. You are already creative. We're not fixing anything. I don't coach problems. I partner with people for them to create their own solutions as they've looked in those blind spots, or they found a new way to frame what seems to be the challenge. So that's the little twist that says a coaching is much more about evoking from you.
Yes.
What's already great. Again, that midwife thing. Ain't my baby? Can't have it for you. So beware, dear people out there. If you get a quote unquote coach who says, I'm a coach because I was a leader before and has not been trained and certified by the International Coaching Federation, then you're likely to really have more mentoring and consulting than actual coaching.
All right, so to that point then, is there a lot of misinformation, bad intel that is being fed into these leaders in terms of what can they do to have the optimal environment? What are your thoughts around that?
I wouldn't say it's bad, because a lot of consulting is really helpful. A lot more knowledge, expertise, we'll call that stuff the outer game of leadership, is very important. And clients are paying me, and their stakeholders want to see that you, Jerry, are actually better at these parameters. This is an outcomes-based service coaching. It's not like therapy or sitting at a bar with a buddy. This is purposeful. This is to get you to places where you want to go, as you see that you're at that growing edge where just more of the same, trying harder, trying longer, is not going to get you to that next stage of leadership. In fact, it's actually going to be holding you back. Again, a little parenthesis. You see that leader who gets promoted, and they're promoted because they were always the smartest kid in the room. And now they sit in a room and the report comes back, your team doesn't like you because you're such a smarty pants know-it-all. Because that leader is using the same old superpower, I know everything.
Yeah.
And it's actually not working, because that leader needs to sit back, shut up, and draw the wisdom out of the room. As they say, if you're the smartest kid in the room, get a bigger room. A better room. Get around some smarter people. I want leaders to get in every source that they can. Follow Harvard Business Review. Follow McKinsey. Track your industry. Great. When we talk about the way, I told you I'd come back to that. The first sense of way is what I've just been saying, that leaders need better ways to do stuff. Hmm. The outer game, the behaviors that you can see, how I show up, what I say, how I say it. When people say, I want to have leadership presence, Chris, I say, what do you mean by that? Because are you actually present? If you want to have presence, be present. If people know that you're large and in charge, but you're not really there for them, then you think you're having presence. And your people are saying, Chris isn't even present. Hmm. So there are outer ways of doing. A metaphor might be, those are apps on the phone. You need better apps on your phone. You need to throw some bad apps off. Great. First sense of way. Second is, what's your way of being a leader, Jerry? Not your doing, your being. Who are you? Why do you even want to lead in the first place? Now, I go with clients from where they are at their pace to where they want to go.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then every once in a while, I'm going to invite, do you think it might be an operating system upgrade? Do you think it's the inner game of leadership? The changing the way you see the world, that you've had assumptions and ways of making meaning that don't serve you. Maybe they did really well, like that story that in order to belong, you need to please. Okay, that's an operating system upgrade. To change that story, that's not skills and competencies, that's capacities. That's the inside out. And that's why the tagline for the Serving Way is lead from within. Get to your core, get to your essence, and lead out of that richness of your own internal growth. Do your work. I'm the partner for you along that work, but it's going to be work.
Oh my God, this is juicy, wonderful stuff. And Chris, I've got to believe you've got a ton of client success stories. Is there one that you are particularly proud of that you can share with us today?
Yeah, there are many, but I like this one. I had a leader come to me and the presenting problem, as we like to call it, or the issue, the challenge was they were really in stress with their job. They thought the company might be sold. They thought maybe they came in saying, Chris, help me figure out how to get the next job. And we spent time there, a lot of it, first, using some assessment tools for that person to really get in touch with their own superpowers, what makes them really great. And then we started looking at, what do you really value? And he began to say, oh, the issue is not the stress at my work. The issue is I bring my stress home. The issue is I'm not the husband I want to be. I'm not the father I want to be. I'm not connected with my faith community in the way I want to be. I said, okay, are you willing to pivot to that? Yeah. And so when he found what he wanted most, which was to have a better integration, he felt relieved from so many of the stresses and pressures, so much more freedom to just do the best he can, control what he can, influence what he can, and just let go and let God with what he couldn't. And it turns out the parent company gave him a promotion to CFO for all of the Americas, not just the little unit he was in the United States.
Oh.
So he went from, I got to get out of Dodge to, I just got promoted.
Wow. Chris, give our audience an idea of who your ideal client is Do you work in certain industries? Do you work with companies of a certain size? What are their annual revenues? How many employees are you working with? When you say leaders, is it the C-level? Is it middle management? Give us some idea of who your target market is.
So I'm going to put that in terms of where I think I offer the most value.
Okay.
Where I come to life and I'm at my best and I'm seeing that come back in the client.
Okay.
That's from the C-suite. Not the biggest Fortune 100, Fortune 50, smaller, but in any industry. So I've been in technology, hospital systems, wealth management, a chocolate making family business, all of that. Then I am really digging these days, the phrase middle manager, which has always gotten a bad rap, mm-hmm. but it's becoming clear, and there are a number of really good books out that says it's actually the middle managers where everything happens. If they're actually empowered to truly lead and collaborate upward and have influence up into the higher structures and influences sideways and down, then they're like the transmission in a car. Like the C-suite can be the engine and it can be going at all these RPM and the tires are sitting there on the ground, not moving. It's the transmission that takes the energy from the C-suite and gets it down to the axles onto the wheels to get something happening. So I'm really enjoying being with these people who are at that really big growing edge. Like it's a level of leadership. It's a way of being a leader that they've never been challenged to before. And it's as much about what they sense. It may sound a little weird to say, what the world is inviting them to do, what the world is asking of them next, saying, Jerry, I need you now up here. Not the company, not the bosses, not HR. Universe, God, whatever says, your purpose. We need you. We need you. And in that gap space is where I'm there. That leader keeps closing the gap. It never closes because the last sense of way, the third is, this is a life journey. Because we're not just leaders at work. We're leaders in homes. We're leaders in families. We're leaders in communities. Anytime where we step forward to give our influence to help people collaborate to do something important, we're leading. And so I believe there's our leaders at every nook and cranny of an organization. And when that is a healthy, serving leader, coaching-oriented culture, then my little pebble dropped in, whether it's C-suite, senior vice presidents, middle management, my little pebble in there, it's going to ripple through. And I do that in the nonprofit space, the public sector, government. I've got experiences all over the place. But I will say this, though, it's important for you, my friends out there in the viewing audience. It can be very helpful if your coach has had some similar experience, like been in the C-suite or created a company. Yes. But don't be fooled, because sometimes the best coaches are the ones that say, I don't need to know the mechanics of your actual industry. I'm going to help you get up from a higher point of view than the immediate concerns of your space. And it might be that I can ask even better questions because we're just not going to get sunk down into the weeds. I don't even know what those weeds are. So the bottom line will always be, if you're considering a coach, spend the time to speak with them. I never sell my coaching. I serve first. With my first conversation with you, Jerry, just exploring will be, who are you? What do you want? What matters? What's in the way? What would it look like? What would it taste like to be on the other side of this growing edge? And then along the way, I might ask, Jerry, did you notice that you're being listened to with full attention, with curiosity, openness, and no judgment? Do you notice I ask more questions than I tell you stuff? That's coaching. If we seem to be able to form this connection, let's have another chat. I never dive to, okay, let's close this thing. When can I get you to sign a contract? Because this is that we co-create this container together that the work happens in.
I love it. Chris, how can people get a hold of you? I'm sure people out there now are just listening to you, soaking this up. It's juicy, it's warm, it's moist, it's delicious. What's your URLs? Where are you on socials? How can people get in touch with Chris Feiberg?
The best place is the website, theservingway.com. It's robust. I think it's clean and easy to understand. Here's what I'll say. What I hope when you come to my website, you'll see yourself. You won't see me front and center. You'll see yourself and say, I don't know how, but Chris already gets what my pain is. Chris already gets what my potential could be. So you are the hero of the story, always. And then on every page in the site is just book a free 30-minute exploratory call. It's not a sales call. It's a taste of what this coaching experience with me particularly could be like for you. And if you do that and you choose another coach, that's great. I've done my job to help you know more about coaching so that you can make a good choice for you. So yes, the website, theservingway.com. And I am reasonably active at LinkedIn. Look for me by my name, Chris Feiberg. And I post things there of little nuggets of things that leaders experience and the kinds of questions and shifts in their thinking that I've seen leaders make. And then they just take that away as a free gift to go try out in their own leadership.
Now, before we sign off, is there one last thing that you would like to say to those who are tuning in to this podcast?
You got this. That's it. You got this.
All right. Excellent. Listen, you are a shining example of true leadership and servanthood. And you remind me of a quote from Dr. King when he said, all of us cannot be famous, but all of us can be great because all of us can serve. All it takes is a heart full of love and a soul full of grace. And that is who you are, to step into these organizations, show them how to thrive, show them how to truly have a servant's heart and do the work they do. So I salute you, my friend, for who you are and the work that you're doing. So thank you again for being here today.
Thank you. You're welcome. I've enjoyed it. And just a little pro tip for you out there. Learn how to say thank you, my friends. Jerry knows what he's talking about. So I trust him when he just said that about me. And I know he's not blowing sunshine. So the only sane thing for me to do with what Jerry just said is say, thank you. I receive it. I'm deeply encouraged by it. And I've had a total blast being with you, Jerry.
Awesome. Thank you, my friend. And to our audience today, this is Jerry Foster, the big branding guy, also known as the branding evangelist. Thank you for being here as well. And until next time, take care. Jerry Foster here. Thank you so much for listening to my Brand Forward Leadership podcast. Now, if you are a successful service-based entrepreneur yourself and you've got amazing expertise, I mean services, skills, talents, and abilities that you offer through your company or yourself, and you've been in business for 5-10 years or more, and you would like to be a guest on this program, I would love to have you. Simply visit jerryfosterbranding.com/brandforwardleadership/apply. And I will certainly check you out and get to know you and so on and so forth. Now, let me just add a couple of other things. Number one, if you got something out of this interview, Would you share this episode on social media for me? And if so, just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on your socials, okay? And number two, if you know someone that you feel would be a great guest, someone that I should meet and connect with and so on and so forth, tag them on social media to let them know about the show and include the hashtag #BrandFordLeadership, because I love seeing your posts. I love guest suggestions. That's how we all grow. That's how we all connect and make it through this world, which are through our relationships and our connections. And lastly, let me throw this in. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. I'm always on the lookout for not only great guests, but great content. And so therefore, because we're always putting great new stuff out, juicy stuff, make sure you don't miss any episodes in the future. So please go ahead and subscribe. And I also love what? I love support. I love love. So your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show and mean a lot to me and my team. So if you can find it in your heart to go ahead and show me that kind of support and love, I would really appreciate it. And on a second note, if you would like to know more about me, the work that I do, simply go to my website at jerryfosterbranding.com or follow me on LinkedIn or Facebook at Jerry Foster Branding or Instagram at Jerry Foster Big Brand Man. Okay? Jerry Foster Big Brand Man. Again, thanks for listening. Until we see you the next time, take care.